Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Phil Vitale reviews restaurants for the Chicago Tribune. He's in our studio. Hi, Phil.
Hi, John.
By the way, the news that you just heard, and not the stuff I was doing, sponsored by Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Thank you, Blaine. I just want, you do restaurant reviews for the Tribune. You come with us, visit with us usually in the middle of the week, mostly on Wednesdays. Today's is Thursday. Thanks for coming in. White Sox baseball yesterday.
Yeah.
Before we get to your latest restaurant review, you had an avocado incident, correct?
Yes.
Which is all the rage.
It was in the paper. I had this incident actually about a year ago.
But this is in today's Chicago Tribune online.
Right. It went online because we're kind of tracking a phenomenon, and I happened to fall in the group. So
Joy Behar went to a hospital.
Yeah, me too. Not the same one. At least I didn't see her.
Okay. From cutting an avocado?
Yes. Well, from stupidly using, getting lazy, and you cut the avocado, and then often you take the blade of the knife and knock it into the pit, and then a little quick twist, and it comes out.
Right.
And in this case, mine didn't come out, and instead of doing the smart thing, like going to get a small spoon or something like that, something intelligent, something a food person might be considered to be on top of, Mr. Lazy took over, and I used the point of the knife to pry out the the avocado pit.
What happened?
Avocado pits are round and slippery, as it turns out, which I actually knew at the time. And then that lesson was brought home forcefully when my hand slipped and the knife went into my finger.
Then what happened?
And then it bled quite persuasively. And I did the usual, you know, elevate it, ice it, wrap it, you know, so the bleeding will stop, and then, you know, presumably it clots, and then you deal with it. But yeah. After half an hour, I looked and said, this isn't stopping. I'm going to need a professional. So into the car I went, and I drove to the emergency room.
Don't you just hate that?
No, what I hated was when I got in there, and I explained what happened, and they went, oh, yeah. So now, it wasn't even like a really interesting accident. I was a cliche.
Another one of those.
Another idiot doesn't know how to handle an avocado.
Who knew that the avocado would be our most dangerous foodstuff?
Right. Actually, I think we lose quite a few fingertips from people slicing bagels inappropriately.
Well, I think that, yeah, but it's the same phenomenon, is it? You hold it in your hand, and you smartly take a sharp knife and cut towards yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Knife plus round food plus impatience equals...
I think you got it right the first time. Knife plus round fool.
Yeah. Yes, I'm also a round fool.
Joy Behar was literally hospitalized.
Wow.
I don't know if it was because maybe there was some bacteria on the knife or the fruit. You know, the avocado's a fruit, right?
It is.
Yeah. But she was waylaid for a while. You got stitches?
Yeah, I just got 3 stitches. I was out of there in a half hour.
Yeah. What'd that run you?
I was covered. I don't know. I think it was a copay. When the whole thing burned, I think it wound up costing me $114. That was the bill that finally came my way.
Yeah, for you. But I'll bet that the bill for the emergency room for the avocado thing, and they probably have an avocado express line at a lot of emergency rooms.
Right. You know, bagels to the left, avocados to the right.
They should just have triage at the Whole Foods. They could do it right there.
Right.
You know,
or maybe you should be able to pass a proficiency test before you're allowed to take home. There'll be a 3-day waiting period for this avocado until we know you can handle it responsibly. We're going to do a test, see if you've been to an emergency room in the last 3 years.
You slice long way the perimeter of the fruit, and then you get a spoon out, and you, after you've separated it, you spoon the pit
out. That's the not going to hurt you too badly.
And if there's another, better, safer way for us to do it, 312-981-7200. Tell me about the latest restaurant that you tried out.
Latest restaurant is called Pacific Standard Time, which is a very odd name for a restaurant that opened in...
I'm going to guess seafood.
There's a lot to it, but not entirely. But yes, you are on the right track. Strange for a place. It's Central Daylight Time here, as we all know, and we're in Chicago. So I keep wondering if I make a reservation for 7 p.m. and I show up at 9 and they say, you're late. I look at the watch and I go, no, I'm not.
I'm Pacific Standard Time.
Right. I came here very specifically at this time because that's what you said.
And so, what do they serve there?
They serve what they like to call is California cuisine, but it's food that you get. They're sourcing the strawberries from this great strawberry farm called Harry's Berries. They're doing all the seafoods coming out of the Pacific. Lots of wood roasting because of that outdoorsy thing that Californians love. They have a killer pita bread. That doesn't speak to California per se, but I remember the legendary chef Joyce Goldstein once telling me in an interview that California was really a part of the Mediterranean that just happened to be accidentally relocated.
About that, you said that the toppings include a smoky eggplant with robiolina, rice koji, Mojo Rojo, I don't know what any of these things are, and a terrific composition of marinated tuna slices over green chickpea hummus, tahini, and urfa, which is a Turkish pepper. That's the pita stuff.
Right. The pita comes with a couple different, you can have the pita with eggplant, you can have the pita with steak tartare, you can have the pita with the tuna, which I particularly like. And yeah, they use a lot of Middle Eastern and even East African spices and hot sauces as ways to augment the food. Mm. And then the pita shows up in several other dishes as well. And you can sit at your table and just grab your server and say, can I have some pita? And they'll go get you some. They don't mind.
Pacific Standard Time. So where is this located?
This is at the corner of Erie and LaSalle. Official address is 141 West Erie. And, it's really cool.
Overall, did you give it a number?
Yes, I gave it a 3.
Yeah, which is, you're kind of on a roll here. You had a 3-star review last week.
Yeah, I've been doing a pretty good job of pre-qualifying these restaurants I spend all this money at so that I'm not because, I'm not $800 in a place I hate.
But that's what it is, because you go more than once, right?
Right.
How many times did you eat at Pacific Standard Time?
3 times. Yeah. Should have made it 4, just because I love the place so much.
And do you go with company, too, usually? Mm-hmm. You bring friends?
Yep.
2 or 4 people, usually, at your table?
It's usually that. I'm usually a party of 2 or 4. I've occasionally been a larger party, but, you know, once you hit 5 or more, it becomes so social. And then, of course, at my table, we're all passing plates because I need to try everything. And by the time the dish in the first position makes its way around to me in the 5th position, there's really nothing much left to evaluate. I can't see how it was presented. There's nothing left.
But if there's 4 at the table and you've been there 3 times, then in a way you've had maybe exposure to 12 entrees.
Right. If for places that have that many, that's not always the case, but at least I want to get into 8 entrees.
Yeah, so then you've generally sampled the menu pretty thoroughly.
I try.
Yeah. Pardon me, I'm not surprised by this, but I always thought that you would eat what you eat, and you've been there 3 times, so you've had 3 things, but you've had a lot more than that.
Right.
Yeah. What's the bar service like at Pacific Standard Time?
Yeah, very nice. They have some very cool cocktails.
Pineapple drinks with umbrellas?
No umbrellas. No, not yet. The one I liked very much is called a Oaxaca Old Fashioned. So it's kind of like an Old Fashioned, but it's made with mezcal. So it's a much smokier drink. It still looks like a dark brown liquor drink, even though it's not exactly. But it's delicious, and I could just sit there. I can just sniff the rim for a while because it's just got a great aroma.
You gave a nice review to Three Finger, to Mordecai.
Good old Mordecai, yeah.
The other day, and shortly after that, friends called up and said, okay, we've got reservations for Mordecai. And you must appreciate what your review does for a business down the road. In fact, Brendan and I paused, kind of strolled through there after your review, and they were thrilled with what you had said.
Oh, good.
Which is not why you say it, but I just wonder if a critic like you sort of happily thinks about the joy that you've brought to an establishment and the business that will come after you do lob a good review out there.
I do. It is a nice warm feeling if you think that, especially a business is not doing gangbusters, and to be able to tell people, you know, this is where the food is. You know, a bee goes out and he finds the nectar, and then he goes back to the hive and he does the "I found some nectar" dance, and then they all follow him out to the flowers. That's kind of what I do.
You're the bee,
only with a typewriter. Yeah,
but you also have to be careful not to fall in love with the idea of advocating for a business. You don't want to be their booster. You want to be the critic.
Right.
So if you, I wonder if that's a temptation you struggle with. I really want this place to you know, they seem like nice people, right?
Right, exactly.
But that's not your job, is
it? That's not my job. In fact, I don't make an effort. I make an effort not to find out if they're nice people or not, because I don't want to know. Yeah, he's got a sick grandmother, you know, or he's a wonderful man who also, you know, when he's not cooking, he's teaching youth soccer or something like that. These are all noble things, but they can't be in my head when I'm evaluating the food and service.
The 3-star review Phil Vitale gave to the one on Erie, right? Erie, mm-hmm. Did you say?
Yep.
Is called Pacific Standard Time. Hey, do you have a question, comment, or an observation in the city or burbs for Phil? Here's your chance, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Call or text right now. Phil Vitale reviews restaurants for the Chicago Tribune. ChicagoTribune.com/dining is where we find Phil.
Mm-hmm.
We've also found him in 9 fully functional digits in our studio, and then one other that's okay, but has been cut by a knife in his hand while opening an avocado, which 18 million people, I think, have done now. Gary had a question for you. Hey, Gary, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Yeah, hi, Phil. Got a question about your opinion, not so much on food or drink, but on the way that restaurants, high-end restaurants, are going towards this online reservation system, primarily using Talk, where, you know, it used to be you'd call, make a reservation, now you have to go online, prepay the dinner, the cancellation policies are horrible, and it just seems that now at the high-end restaurants, it's almost like going to a concert or an opera or CSO. It's an entertainment experience as opposed to a dining experience. What's your opinion on the online reservation system?
Well, I think you've absolutely nailed it, both in what it appears to be and exactly as the restaurants want to portray it. If you're going to a restaurant, if you're going to anything from a baseball game to the opera, you are buying a ticket. And if you do not wind up using that ticket, well, tough luck. Try to sell it to somebody else, but they're going to play the game with or without you. I'll say that in some of these high-end restaurants, they don't have a whole lot of tables. So they have like perhaps maybe 60 tables that they'll be able to turn over once. So they'll maybe do 120 meals for the evening. Maybe a place like Alinea won't do that many. And so if you show up as 3 people when you reserve for 4, that's 25% less money they're going to make on that table while you're there. And if you don't show up at all, you know, these are places that, due to their expense and their exclusivity, don't have people wandering by to see, hey, you got an open table?
Okay, but you can't call in and make a reservation?
Well, some of them you can. Alinea, for instance, stopped, and the owner, Nick Kokonis, had a very interesting way of it. He said they used to have a reservationist. They'd have people on the phone. They'd have to hire a couple because it would be a long shift. But they were so popular that they were reserving weeks and weeks and weeks out.
Yeah.
So what they were doing is paying someone to sit at the phone and say, no, sorry. And that was bad because then you have to tell someone no, and you don't want that. So going online, you look at the calendar and you can see when the open dates are, and you can make those plans. And I should point out that only a very small handful require full prepayment up front. A great many just require a minimal down payment. Some bars, some places just do a $10 that's immediately applied to your bill. It's not a lot to ask, I don't think.
Gary, I may not agree, but I appreciate the question, Gary. It's a good point. I get frustrated with that, too. I live in a world that is less and less interpersonal, and I like the human touch.
Mm-hmm.
I called Aurelio's to have pizza delivered to my house, and they said, we don't do pizza delivery over the phone. You got to go to one of the online delivery services and then order it through there, and then we'll deliver the pizza. I'm like, I'm just down the street. You're talking to me now. How about you just have them run over a pepperoni? No, we can't do that.
Right. Because what they did is they got rid of their delivery people and signed on with the delivery service. So they have the people, they have the cars, they have the liability, they do all that.
Fine.
In exchange, you got to go through them. I understand.
I'm just a consumer here, right?
That's right.
You're telling me their problem. Here's my problem.
Here's your problem.
I now don't have a human being taking my fancy restaurant or even getting me my pizza. And I think that's real for them, too. They need to appreciate that we don't like
them. Right, because there's a perception. Some people feel that they're losing the hospitality element to this when it's all online and it's all interpersonal and all the rest of it. And that's a valid concern.
Hold on. We're out of time. Three quick text messages from our listeners. Oh, my God, John, I just randomly bought my wife an avocado tool that is made out of plastic and does not cut your skin. It's too funny that you guys are talking about it. Ella pointed out a picture of it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get you one of these so that you don't injure yourself.
Notice the far end is there to make slices. That's what that does.
Does Phil ever come to the Valparaiso area? You ever get over to Valpo?
I have. I've been to that Spanish restaurant. Why am I forgetting the...
Because there's 8,000 restaurants in our listening area, and you don't have all of them.
Yeah, there's Bistro. I've been to Bistro 187. I don't know if that's still there. That's in downtown Valpo. And then the Don Quixote, which is also in downtown Valpo. Although it's been a couple of years. But yes, is there something new in Valpo? Please tell me.
Yeah, that comes up a lot, where people go, how come you don't go to the south suburbs? I'm only one Phil Vitale. Let me know what the new place is. I'll check it out. Hey, Phil, can you recommend a good cocktail lounge in the northwest suburbs? Good cocktail lounge in the northwest suburbs, which would also be a good restaurant with a nice bar in the northwest suburbs.
Right. Yeah, I'm blank.
I'm going to crowdsource this. 312-981-7200. You live in the northwest suburbs. Tell me a good cocktail lounge, a good place to get a nice highball out northwest. We're going to Huntley, and we need a good highball. Where should we go? Phil, it's always good to see you.
Thank you.
So you'll come back next week?
Sure, now that I know the way.